really, now as you go further, as they begin to spread the gospel, which is the whole point of the book of Acts, you begin to see a change of position. Now, the position in the beginning, or the area of interest in the beginning, was Jerusalem. We know that. And Jerusalem, you remember, Jesus tells his disciples that they're to go to Jerusalem and wait until they're endued with power from on high. And then you study there in chapter number 2, day of Pentecost has fully come, and there is a power that comes upon the disciples, the apostles, and they stand and proclaim the word of God. And if you remember from that first proclamation, 3,000 folks got saved. And then the church just begins to fellowship, rejoice, and it begins to grow. But at that time, it is all centered in Jerusalem. It's all centered in Jerusalem. And, you know, Jesus told them, he said, well, you start at Jerusalem, but then you go to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts. Well, if you remember, we've been following this, and the Lord's really been pushing his church. They started out in Jerusalem. That worked out okay. But they've kind of stayed there in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we've seen a few other minor excursions out from Jerusalem, but you see how that Peter went out into some of the outlying areas in Judea and even up towards the Galilee region. And then, remember in chapter number 8, Philip and his revival in Samaria. So they've gotten that far. But really the emphasis now is going to change from chapter 10, midway in chapter number 11. We'll go over some more stuff here in chapter number 11. But it starts out with the church and the emphasis still being around Jerusalem. Now we're about to extend that. And that comes about through what we studied here just the last few weeks about a man by the name of Cornelius that is wanting to find out more about salvation. He's wanting to find out more about God and about what his plan for mankind is. So God has sent an angel to speak to Cornelius, told him to send for a man by the name of Simon Peter. And then he's talked to Peter while he's in an area called Joppa. While he's there, the Lord has visited him in a vision. And those two are about to get together, and something happens. And you see in chapter number 10 that Cornelius and his entire household get saved by the grace of God. Well, you know, and we talked a little bit there about prejudices. And if you want to look at it that way, that's really what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, was the prejudices of Peter and of his Jewish thinking. And you remember what I told you about how that a Jew gets up in the morning. A Jewish man gets up in the morning, and when he prays, he first of all thanks God that he's not a slave and that he's not a Gentile, and that he's not a woman. Amen. That's the three things that Jewish men pray. And you say, boy, preacher, that's kind of hateful, isn't it? Well, I'm just telling you, they got some prejudices that are deep-rooted within them. And you can see that. I mean, their prejudices say, okay, I'm glad I'm not a slave, and I'm glad I'm not a Gentile nor pagan, and I'm glad I'm not a woman. I mean, man, they wouldn't do too good in 2022, would they? I mean, there'd be every movement in the world. I mean, everybody'd be against them. They'd all be coming up and saying, what do you mean? Women are not just as equal as men. What do you mean that a Gentile and a Jew, there's a big difference? You know, they would go on through all of this stuff today because that's the world we live in, isn't it? I mean, those are the things that you and I hear and see in our world today. But again, that's all those prejudices. Well, Peter finally gets through, and we're not finished with it, but he gets through with a lot of his prejudices, all right? But don't you notice here in chapter number 11, now if you remember, Peter has preached to Cornelius. They've gotten the salvation. They've gotten the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. All these things are beginning to happen to them. And in chapter number 11, verse number 1, it says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they were that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." But Peter, rehearsing the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, 'Arise, Peter, slay and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, 'Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Excuse me. "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, 'That then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.'" Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for tonight. Thank you for the word of God and all the things that we've heard. I pray now, Lord, you just encourage our hearts, encourage our thinking, encourage our mindset now, that we may honor you and praise you, give you worship and love you as we ought to. And I pray now, Lord, you just speak to us through these words. Help us to see how that we might draw closer and be more like you. And again, we'll just simply thank you. We'll give you praise and worship. For us, and in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this a little section here with me tonight. We'll just stop there in verse number 18 as it gives us, you know, a good jumping off place and I guess a good starting point. And you see the story that Peter reiterates that was there from before. I mean, it's the same story that we've seen. So you see that, and you see that it's not Peter now that needs convincing. It's those other Jews that are around him. It's those other Jews that are there in Jerusalem. It's those other Jews that have their prejudices jump up before them. Amen? And, you know, it is just with certain emphasis that we're seeing these things over this last, at least three or four chapters here, you're seeing that emphasis made about don't let your prejudices get to you. Because, again, every one of us have them. I mean, you've got them in some way. And, I'd say there's no shame in that. The shame is, and if you keep them, okay? Because, it's tough to get rid of what would be called cultural biases. It's tough to get through those things. I guarantee the way a lot of you were raised and some things you heard, some things you thought, it's still down in there, right? It's still down in there somewhere. Even though you've sat down and you said, you know, that ain't right. I mean, I know better than that. Well, I know Yankees are people too, amen? I mean, hey, you know, we've had some of these things that just kind of ingrained into us that we have built up some walls of prejudice. Well, here Peter goes back to where he came from. And I want you to see this tonight as we go into it. And listen, we'll just title the message this way. The Jews finally embrace the Gentiles. Hey, and particularly not just the Jews, but the church finally embraces the Gentiles. I mean, finally, it's getting through that the Lord means what he says. For God so loved the world. I mean, think about that. John 3:16, every little Sunday school kid, for God so loved the world. Okay? The world. Who does the world include? Well, it certainly includes the Jew, but there's more to it than that. This is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? But, you know, if you go back and look at that, the words there is not, for God so loved the Jewish world. No, God loved the whole world. The whole world. And he sent his only begotten Son, that whichever Jews believe, no, whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. So, you know, Jesus brought it out. It's just, it ain't clicking sometimes, okay? Sometimes there's some things in the Bible that you see, and they just really don't click with me and you until God sends that big light bulb and says, hey, dummy, wake up, here it is, boom, and you finally say, I got it, okay? Well, that's what's going on with the Jewish believers here in Jerusalem. I mean, let's look at it, and first of all, let's look at it, if you will. The first thing I want you to think of is, let's look at the fault finders. Thank God, boy, you can always find them, can't you? I mean, there's always some fault finders somewhere. Listen to what it says. And the apostles and the brethren that were at Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, and saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. Now, just stop right there and let's look at that and realize, oh, your prejudice is showing again. Your prejudice is showing. I want you to notice it. Here are the fault finders. First of all, I want you to see this. Notice that the news arrives. Now, we don't really know how that news got there, but it got there. Amen? And I'll guarantee you this. There's people that knows things that's going on in this church. Ain't been around this church, and I can't tell you when, but they know what's going on. Right? And it's not just here at this church. It's other church. There's people know things about other church. And you're like, man, where in the world did they find that out? How did that? Well, let me just tell you, it don't matter if it's good news or not. News travels fast. All right? It says, the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. I mean, they heard. Somebody came in and told them and said, boy, we got some news for y'all. I mean, the news has arrived. Somebody came in. We're not told how. We're not told who, what the source was. And apparently God's not interested in gossip. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, he don't care about all that stuff. But somebody couldn't wait till, you know, the water got hot before they run in there and started telling everything. Oh, let me tell y'all what we found out. And, you know, it might have been that they meant it as good news. But I guarantee you, right here, the fault finders have wound up bringing it in as bad news. I mean, and can I tell you this? When anybody gets saved, it ought to be good news, right? It should be good news. But here, they're turning it into bad news. They said, oh, let us tell you some. And boy, you know, it causes a ruckus. So first of all, just realize, as I say, the news arrives. But secondly, I want you to look at the negative accusations from the news that has arrived. Look at the negative accusations. It says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they were that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. There's their point of contention, if you will. You notice that the Bible says they contended with him. That means they took issue with what Peter had done. They said, well, how dare you? How dare you? Do you know what you've done, Peter? Why, you have made a mockery of Judaism. You have gone against the dietary laws of Judaism. And do you realize what? Now, I mean, that covers a lot of stuff, okay? That covers a lot of things. Because they were so embracing, they were so much embraced in their thinking of what a man could eat and what that meant. Boy, ain't y'all glad God pulled the blinders off of that? I mean, ain't you? Amen, I am. That's not good English, but ain't you glad of that? I like a little ham. Somebody say amen. Bacon. I'm talking pork chop. I'm talking about tenderloin. Woo! Hey, if it hadn't have been for that, we'd probably been in trouble, wouldn't we? Some of us have been backslid about every day. Amen. I mean, we'd been in trouble. Why, you like a little cheese with your burger? Hey, Jews couldn't do that. As a matter of fact, they still can't do it over in the country. You go over, go into McDonald's. You know what they do at McDonald's? They put an egg on your burger rather than cheese, because them two can't coincide over there in Israel. It's against the dietary laws. Woo, I was about to have a hallelujah fit. I mean, listen, we went over to Israel, and when we came back, we flew into an airport in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it was about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And in that terminal, there was a McDonald's. Every stinking little old Baptist on that plane got off and said, "Get me a sausage biscuit. Hallelujah." Huh? I mean, can you imagine? But for the Jew, you don't do that. That's not godly. That's not according to the law. That's not. And here Peter has gone in. As I say, one part of it is that it's dietary. I mean, it's you don't eat the kind of food they're eating, and a lot of that is because the Jews will say, well, that was sacrificed to a pagan heathen idol, and you're not supposed to eat that kind of food. Amen. That's their thinking. That's part of it. It's dietary. And then it is religious, if you will, in that aspect. And then it also comes into this, that you're around those uncircumcised people. I mean, they're just plumb polluted. Well, they're plumb, you just don't have any kind of dealings, any kind of doings with it. We don't want that kind of people. You ever said that before? Well, they're just not our kind. Well, bless God. Amen. If they're living and breathing, they're your kind of people, okay? So, but you'll hear people use some of those prejudices. But I'm telling you, here are the fault finders. You see them? Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and you ate with them. Not only were you in their presence, but you had the gall to sit down and eat with them. Amen? Oh, isn't that horrible? Isn't that terrible? Listen, I've done a few of them things in my life too. I've been around some people that other people said, "You mean you ate with them?" Well, yeah. Amen. There's a eating. I'm a eating. Amen? Hey, let me just tell you. It's funny, sometimes some of the stories you hear from missionaries, and I'll just tell you one little story. I probably told you this before. There's some ladies that were missionaries. They went over to Liberia over in Africa. And they were over there on their mission journey. And, you know, they were kind of like the rest of us. What do we do when we get there? We don't know. And as they went in, they began to try to discourse with the people and try to win the people and try to, you know, just try to smile at them and do whatever they could do. Well, these folks invited them to eat with them. And then that's when you say, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Well, they went in to eat with them. They sat down, and they told them, "We're going to serve you some delicacies." And come to find out, they were eating monkey. Praise God for that, right? Well, I think part of it was monkey brains. And they were like, "Now, what do you do?" And they really didn't find out. They just knew it wasn't chicken. Amen. And it don't taste like chicken, apparently. You know, everybody says something to, "Oh, it tastes just like chicken." Well, this didn't. So, and they sat down and they went ahead and ate with them because they were afraid of offending the people. And they went ahead. Now, some of y'all done sucked it up right there. I mean, you want to hug them ladies' necks? You want to shake their hands? You want them to give you a little kiss on the cheek? No, I don't think so, preacher. Have you been eating monkeys? I don't think. Well, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. We get all out of shape over some of those things, right? But and that's exactly what Peter has experienced here. And these guys, I mean, they're, you know, where it says that they contended with him. They took issue with him. I mean, it wasn't just a light thing. It was a very serious and a very, very hard thing for them to imagine that Peter, a good Jewish man, had gone in with a bunch of Gentiles and sat at their table and ate food with them and even talked to them. Amen? But can I tell you, hey, somebody need to get saved. I mean, there was somebody, and God, and that's why God came to him. So, you know, first of all, look at that, and you see those that say they had some problems out of this. Do you see what happens here? Doubt, they bring in doubt and division, and it raises its ugly head right here among the Jewish brethren. I mean, this is not just some outside Jew. These are people that are Jewish brethren in the church, and they're raising this question and this issue unto Peter. They're taking issue with him over this. And they said, well, we just doubt, it's very doubtful that you did the right thing. And they were ready to, I think they're ready to kick him out of the church. They at that point. But listen, I want you to notice, not only do you see the fault finders, but listen, notice, second of all, you find the facts that are furnished. The facts that are furnished. Notice what Peter does. But Peter, in verse number 4, rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, and he begins to tell the story that we've already gone over with in chapter number 10. Peter begins to tell them the story. And what Peter says, boys, y'all think whatever you want to, but let me tell you first of all about the Lord's vision that he gave to me. You see where Peter explains what happened to him. He says, look, here's what happened. I was down in the city of Joppa praying, and I was in a trance, and I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Peter said, I want y'all to know something. God showed something to me. I mean, I had a vision. I had a vision, and it was a heavenly vision. It was a vision sent from God. He said, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Now, Peter said, okay, won't y'all know, I had this vision, and it said, you know, here's all this stuff that us Jews don't eat. And that voice that I heard there said, arise, slay, and eat. And old Peter's like, but I said, not so, Lord. Verse number 8, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Don't you call that common. Don't you call. And he said that happened three times. Now, again, y'all remember, we're looking at that, and it seems like it has been pretty unusual that these things have happened in the life of Peter in threes, right? Three times he denied the Lord. Three times Jesus said, lovest thou me. Three times he saw this vision. And now, do you realize this is the third time you've heard him tell this story? This is the third time, because the first time, we read it when it happened to him. The second time, he tells Cornelius what happened to him. And now the third time, he's telling it to the Jewish brethren. And you know why? God's trying to get their attention. And really, if you will, God's trying to get our attention. In telling something three times, I mean, you know, let me just say this. God just has to say it once for it to be true. But when he comes back a second time, when he comes back a third time, you better pay attention to it. He means there's something there for me and you to see. There's something there. And this is the third time that this story has been reiterated. So you see that Peter says, look, there's been a vision. He said, and this was done three times, and all were drawn again into heaven. He said, boys, I want y'all to know, here's the facts. I had a vision from God. Can I tell you something? When God tells you something, when God shows you something, when God gives you something, you better listen to it. Amen? We're in the Christmas season. Hey, you read those stories. Joseph had an angel visit him in a dream and tell him about Mary. Take her and let her be your wife. Mary had an angel visit her and said, that child which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that everybody involved, Zacharias had an angel come and tell him, your wife's going to have a child and you're going to name him John. And he's going to be the forerunner of Christ. What I'm telling you is when God comes on and tells you something, you better listen. You better listen. When the Lord comes by and gives you a message, take it to heart and listen to it intently. And with a, you know, the right way of looking at it. God means what he says. So, first of all, you see that Peter here, he recounts the vision that he had. Then, second of all, he recounts the visitors that he had. Look at what he says here. Had a vision. And then it says, in verse 10, this was done three times and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse number 11, and behold, immediately, he says, there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Again, there's that three, isn't it? There were three men come to him. Now, Cornelius didn't have to send three, but he did. Why? Again, I think God's making a point. And three is the number we know that stands for the Trinity, for a completeness of God. God is saying, look, Peter, it's me I'm talking to you in threes. He's talking to him again in three. So he has some visitors, and he talks about these men that are there, that are the visitors. He says, look, here they come, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Without a question, without any doubt, go with them. He said, moreover, these six brethren here accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed me how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood at him, saying, send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Amen? So I'm telling you, he said, look, I had a vision. I had some visitors that came. And brother, last of all, he said, I had a visit to make with Cornelius himself. I had to make the visit that God set me out for. So can I just get you to understand that this is the story that God is giving them through Peter. It's the mission of the gospel. Get it out to the Gentiles. And again, here's these hard-headed guys that say, well, they're not Jewish. Well, guess what? God saves them too. Amen? Now, I'll be real honest with you. The church, our church in America somehow at some time has got the crazy idea that God saving white people only. I mean, well, you mean somebody else can be saved besides us? What? Yeah, let me tell you. The first folks that were saved wasn't white like you are. Amen. Jesus wasn't white like the artist pictures sometimes depict him. Hey, I'm telling you, some of us in America need to wake up and realize this thing goes further than me and you. As I said, sometimes those cultural biases that we have are showing very broadly before everyone that we get around. I mean, can you understand this? That this is something that God is doing, and he's doing it in his way, and he's doing it for whosoever will. Whosoever will. And as I say, here you got these guys, their prejudices have popped up. And look, Peter says, look, I had this vision, I had some visitors, and then I had a visit that I had to make myself. He said, we got up and I went with them, I accompanied them, we entered into this man's house, and he showed me how that God had visited him. How that God had visited him and told him to send for Peter because he had some words that he wanted to tell you about salvation. And can you imagine? Now, we talked about it a little bit, I think, but Peter, he understood all of this. He was reluctant. He couldn't really grasp it, and he didn't get it like he ought to. But I'm glad God sent somebody to him to get his attention. God sent somebody to him to get his attention. Who did he send? Well, he sent Cornelius, as Cornelius sending his men to him and said, hey, look, here's a Gentile that needs the gospel. And God explained to him, that the Gentiles could be saved just like the Jews. When God showed him that picture of the sheet that fell down with all the different kinds of animals that were in it. And as I say, you and I, we cringe at some things, don't we? I mean, you hear people talking about, you know, well, even some of you, I mean, you'd be scared to eat a squirrel or a rabbit or some certain kind of game fowl or something. You might be, I ain't eating that. I don't know what I'm saying. Brother, I'm just telling you, things are different culturally. I understand that. And we have some hesitancies. That's exactly what Peter's dealing with here. But God said, look, relay that to men. Don't you call anybody out of ordinary or uncommon or unusual or whatever, that they can't be saved. I'm wanting to save every man. Doesn't matter who they are. No matter what you term them, no matter what you say about them, thank God I'm glad that men can be saved. Let me tell you something. There was years ago, I heard this with my own ears, that there was a guy, and he was headquartered there in Dalton, Georgia, and he was on the radio when I was down in Atlanta. He was preaching on the radio, and I heard him say this, that black people came over on the ark with Noah, that they were like the animals that were there. And he said, and there is no chance for them ever to be saved. And I'm looking at my radio, and I'm thinking, who is this nutcase? And there's people that have had that opinion, that idea, that thought in their little pea brains that is right. Can I tell you, that's the furthest from wrong that you'll ever hear in your life. Amen. Jesus came to save whosoever will. And I can tell you, a black man, a yellow man, a red man, a white man, any other color they may be out there, they've all got the soul that needs to be saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, Jesus is still the Savior of everybody. I don't care if it's over Japan or in North Korea or in Europe or in America or in South America or up at the Alaskan area. Thank God everybody needs to be saved. And Jesus died for them all. Amen? Jesus died for them all. But let me just tell you this. As you look at this, as Peter gets into all of these things that he is saying and trying to explain to those that have come up against him, I want you to notice, more than anything, you'll see that Peter emphasizes the fact that all of this is done through the Spirit's leading and dealing. All right? You notice that he says in verse number 12, he said, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. The Spirit had just given him a vision. And he didn't understand it, but he said, the Spirit said, follow. You know what I'm saying is this? You and I need to learn how to listen to the Spirit of God. We need to learn how to live. We need that. Hey, look there in verse number 15. He said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That same Spirit that they got on the day of Pentecost, he said, that's the same thing that fell on them people when I was preaching that day. So I want you to look at this. Let's look at this. Let's look at the faithful finish to this whole story. Look at the faithful finish to this whole story. Notice, as I said, the Spirit's dealing. And then you notice what he says. Look in verse number 16. Peter said, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, If you look at this, here's Peter talking to some Jewish people. Okay, they've been there on the day of Pentecost. When they were there, the Bible said that the Spirit came to them in that upper room, and they were all filled with the Spirit. It came as a sound of a wind, a mighty rushing wind, came in where they were. It was all over them. That's getting baptized in the Spirit in the Bible way, okay? And it lit on them. They saw tongues of fire and, you know, all those things. But they had the Spirit of God. If you'll go over and read there sometime in chapter number 8, it talks about how that they went down to Samaria and they laid their hands on those folks that were converts, and they received the Spirit. Here, the same thing happened to these Gentiles that happened to the Jews. They didn't have to lay their hands on them. You know, and I think that's another thing that the apostles and disciples that were at Jerusalem were like, well, we're the stuff, you know. We got to put our hands on them before they can get the Holy Ghost. Peter said, uh-uh. He said, I want to tell y'all. He said, I remember when this day, he says, I began to speak, verse 15, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. This thing ain't just for us anymore, boys. This thing has gotten into the Gentile world. And he said, then I remembered the word of God that Jesus himself gave to us, saying that John is baptizing folks out there, John the Baptist, just with water. He said, but I'm going to baptize you. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he said, that's what it takes in real salvation. In God's sin. So, first of all, notice this, that Peter remembers the Word of God. But then, second of all, notice this, that the Gentiles received the same thing that they got. He said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Do you see that? Peter said, boys, they got it just like we got it. And who am I to tell them they ain't got it? Amen? Who am I to tell them? Hey, you know what that means? That means me and you can't stand up and say, well, us Baptists is the ones got the market card. Who am I to tell somebody that? Who am I to tell somebody that they are or are not saved? It ain't up to me. If they believe on Jesus, just like me and you believe on Jesus, and they got the same thing you and I got, I can't tell them, you know, what that they are or they are not. And Peter said, who am I? He said, man, what am I going to do? I can't withstand God. There's no way that I can stand up against what God's doing. And, you know, finally, you see that that word gets through to them. Verse 18 says, when they heard these things, when they finally saw the facts, then they realized, they held their peace. And what? And glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The brethren that were the Jews finally rejoice over Gentile salvation. They're rejoicing over the fact. They said, well, if that's the way it is, then praise God, he's a saving them too. Amen. He'll save them just like he'll save you and me. Listen, I believe God can save folks down in the poorest countries in this world that there are. I believe he can save those that's living, and I've seen live in some little old hut, little old thing that they've thrown together, little old shanty and shack. And you know what? Jesus can save them just like he'd save anybody over here in our country. Amen. You know how he does it? Same way he saved you. He forgave their sin. They got it under the blood. They trusted Christ. And thank God their name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life above. And they're just as saved as me and you are. And I know, just like for these guys, that's hard for a lot of folks to swallow. Well, they're not like it. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad they ain't like you. Amen. Like a lot of folks are. I'm glad of that. I can remember we went into Mexico. Brother Otis says, we went into Mexico not knowing what in the world, you know, we were going to receive. I mean, what kind of reception there was going to be. We went there and got there later in the evening. It was dark outside, and Brother Otis told us, he said, grab your luggage, and he said, come on, and we'll try to, you know, there's supposed to be some folks here to meet us and help us get back. And it was late, and we were tired, and we were unsure, and just a whole lot of stuff. And, buddy, we got there at the gate, and we were met by the smilingest crowd I've ever seen. We couldn't talk to them, but those men come running. They grabbed our suitcases. They smiled. They shook our hands. They welcomed us. They said, hola. And, buddy, we were just glad to see them. They started patting us on the back, smiling. And, of course, Brother Otis is talking to them. And, buddy, they was glad to see us. And I thought, praise God. I mean, we got out there and we got some car that some of y'all had been scared to death to put anything. I mean, you'd put your animals in while we was riding in. And back across through the rough roads and ways back in the little places in Mexico. But you know what? Thank God they're just as saved and just as happy and just as glad as we was. And I'm telling you, when we got ready to leave, oh, this preacher stood there and cried tears over those folks, and they didn't have what we have. They didn't have nowhere near what we have. Buddy, they had Jesus down on the inside of their hearts. You know what? That's all it was about. And, yeah, they couldn't do, they didn't have, and they weren't, you know, what we were. But I can tell you something. You spend a week without a TV and a radio and cell phone and all that junk, and get down there where they're at, hey, you'll find out you can worship God. You don't need all that junk and all that stuff on the side anyway. Amen? Hey, and I'm just saying, brother, hey, you got to put some of that stuff aside and realize this world needs Jesus. They need, and see, that's what the Lord's trying to do right here through these Jews that thought they were the high and mighty, the holy pick, and the only ones that's going to get it. And God said, hey, forget it. I'm spreading it outside your borders, and it's for the world. For the world. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something. this evening, if you will.